23, Bible study lesson number 9, March 4th, 2017. Jehovah Roha, Lord, is my shepherd. A confession of an individual faith testifies of his personal relationship with an absolute and eternal being, was the same one undertaking the defense and care and guidance of a single life as my shepherd. Jehovah Roi, my shepherd, shepherding me. That's an expanded translation of it. I shall not want. Why won't I want? Because Jehovah Roi is also Jehovah Jireh. And we're looking at the doctrine of Jehovah Jireh. We're almost through with the doctrine now. Before we begin, let's pause for silent prayer to give you time to make sure you're in the filling of the Spirit. And you have absolute objectivity to the teaching of the Word of God. Shall we pray? Our God and Father, we thank you for the privilege of teaching your Word, for your Word is absolute truth. We claim your promise that your Word will not return void, will accomplish all that you designed for. We ask you to sanctify it and bless it in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In whose name we pray. So even so, come, Lord, sing. So come, Lord Jesus, come soon. We pray these things in Christ's name. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Read it again. Amen. Jehovah Jireh, we have seen, means the Lord foresees or precedes, and the Lord will provide. Primarily, the Lord will provide, but he sees what we need before we know that we need it, and he does it. He supplies it for us. The Lord will see to it. He will see what we need. The Lord provides. The Lord will see to it. The Lord sees our needs. The Lord provides our needs. We have seen that the Lord shall appear as an allusion to the divine interposition by which Isaac was saved from death. We went through all this in Genesis 22 in the last class and the end of the class before that. The Lord shall appear, the Lord shall see, in the sense of looking out and selecting the offerings that should afterwards be presented in the temple. Hebrews 11:19, the Lord will see to it. Three ways to name the interpretation Jehovah Jireh has been explained. The Lord shall appear, the Lord shall see, and the Lord shall provide. They all explain the concept of it. He foresees in advance what we need. The Lord shall provide. Here we have a backward glance to Abraham's answer. God will provide himself the lamb for the burnt offering. Literally words, God has provided already. He provided from Abraham's viewpoint, the offering was real. The offering was to be his son. Isaac, who was a type of Christ, and we've gone through the whole concept of that for you in the last classes. We now come down to the concept. We have a promise and assurance of the Father's goodness in Jehovah Jireh. In the matter of temporal provision for mankind in general, the Father daily proves himself to be the unfailing provider. When we look through human viewpoint, we see the day is coming. What are we going to do about that day? This is the day the Lord hath made. Rejoice and be glad in it. I'm just about 12 and a half hours from when I had the problem attack. It'd be 14 days ago. I thought it was going to take me to heaven at that night, Saturday night. God has provided. This is the day the Lord hath made. Rejoice and be glad in it. We thank the Lord one day at a time for what he gives us and provides us. We need to learn to see through divine eyesight. And when we look and see through divine eyesight, we see the eyes of all, man and beast, are upon Christ. And we're to wait for him. To wait upon him, for he giveth us our meat in due season. God provides in unexpected ways. Last night, Linda was trying to relax a little bit. All her many health problems are compounded up. I was reading a newspaper from yesterday morning's paper I didn't get to read from yesterday. I got up till 9 o'clock last night. Bedtime. When an unsaved couple stopped by, gave my wife and I two little frozen steak pies. They'd gone to a grocery store and bought some and gotten some food. And they saw these and they thought, got a couple for themselves. They thought, why not give John and Linda one? And they live in our building, apartment house building. They've given us some food before. We're going to see that David was provided for if we can get through the psalm all the way. That allows us to teach so many classes. I don't know how many it'll take. We're going to see that God spread, when he spread the table before David in the presence of his enemies, the full impact of what that meant. Because the table was provided for by God, and every good gift and every perfect gift coming down above from the Father of lights, and there was no variables, neither shadow turning, with the table in the wilderness provided by unbelievers, foreigners from another country. We have to believe, my God, shall supply all your need according to his abundant riches in Christ Jesus. There's a fear of being left alone. This disconnects you from God. There's the danger of isolation. This is something my wife has to live with in faith, rest, and I do too. What if something happens to me? Who's going to take care of her? Last night, we had a detail of life crisis here. She accidentally threw away a part of a piece of medical equipment she had to have. She'd gotten a replacement in, and she put the old piece in there in the garbage bag to go out, and just as I was carrying it, getting ready to take the trash out, she dropped the new piece in, not realizing she'd attached it, laid it out the way she had done it. Slight memory loss. Well, last night, God was very gracious. The rain had stopped, opened up a garbage can because the rain had been pouring. Trash can was caught where somebody had evidently moving in had done, or getting something they had purchased somewhere, had thrown some boxes there, and it was caught in a way that I could reach it. It was undamaged. I brought it back. Linda could have never seen into the garbage can. She's not tall enough. It's a giant trash bin to even see it. And if it had not caught on what it had down there, the place had been emptied yesterday morning. Would have been down at the bottom on the other side, on the side there that had gone into. It caught on some stuff that hung over. Somebody opened the door on one side and just dropped stuff straight down. Isolation can cause you to disconnect. People interfering in your life who have all the answers to everything that you got, all your problems in life, but don't have any help, can cause you to disconnect from faith. So when a person is disconnected, they need recovery. When a person is isolated, they need something. First of all, they need companionship. Secondly, they need compassion. Thirdly, they need courage. But Most of all, they need to place their eyes upon Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. With Jehovah Jireh as our shepherd, think about what we're saying here. Jehovah Jireh, he foreknows what we need. He provides what we need. My God shall supply all your need, singular. He'll provide all of our physical needs. He'll provide all of our material needs. Look at Luke 22:35. My apology, I can't help myself. I've got a lot of health problems right now. Luke 22:35. When the Lord Jesus Christ sent out the 70, and he said to them, when I sent you out without money, belt, and bag and sandals, you did not lack anything, did you? They said, no, nothing. He sent them out. Jesus' instruction to the disciples to travel light and depend on hospitality is seen in Luke 9:3. And he said to them, take nothing of your journey, for your journey, neither a staff, nor bag, nor bread, nor money, and do not even have two tunics apiece. Whatever house you enter into, stay there until you have that leave that city. These were the forerunners of Christ, preparing the cities for his coming. And as for those who do not receive you, as you go out from that city, shake the dust off the feet of the testimony against them. Take nothing with you. Look at Matthew verse, Luke 22:36. And he said to them, but now whatever has money belt is to take it along, likewise also a bag, and whatever has no sword is to sell it, his coat, and buy one. All right, during our dispensation, we're not to depend upon nothing. We're to be smart and to make provision, but we're still to trust and have faith in God. For I tell you this, which is written and must be written in me. And he was numbered with the transgressors. For that which he refers to me has its fulfillment. And they said, look here are two swords. And he said to them, that is enough. His original instructions had been to travel light and depend on hospitality, but now he tells them they need to provide for themselves to protect themselves a sword, two swords. We know Peter had one, for soon he would cut off Malchus' ears. Enough of the conversation is settled. It is enough. Be prepared. He's teaching them. Preparational work at the same time. He's teaching them, telling them that they do not live by faith. The heart of the Lord is as large as his power is infinite. As we cast all our care upon him, we experience how deeply he cares for us. His hand to provide what we need. The old hymn says, say not my soul, from whence can God relieve my care? Remember that omnipotence has servants everywhere. His methods are sublime, his heart profoundly kind. God never is before his time and never is behind. God supplies in marvelous and wonderful ways. We shall not lack not that we shall not want things, that comes from the old sin nature, it comes from just natural desire. I want a place to live with a beautiful garden that my wife can walk in her last years and see the flowers, and smell the trees. Her father, who was in the nursing home in Wisconsin, and we asked him if he wanted to come live with us. He'd have to live in a city in an apartment. He said no, he wanted to see the trees and the gardens. He'd been outside the state of Wisconsin his life, up one trip to Illinois. He had no desire to leave the state. No desire to leave the farm country, general area where he was born, lived, and died. Nursing home he lived in his last years after a stroke crippled him up and left him where he was completely unable to do much of anything. He could look out. One day, he told us about seeing the deer feeding on, getting in the edge of the cornfields early out of the morning. If he was woke up right after daylight, he'd see deer and sometimes get in the cornfields next door to the place and start eating corn, which young deer do, old deer do too. When he had his stroke, his farm was stolen from him. His farm was probably worth well over $1 million today because eventually it wound up in the hands of a group of Amish who liked pop. Father-in-law was who knew how to farm. He fixed it all up. Last time we saw it, it looked fantastic. One of the gigantic Midwestern farm, a small family farm. But he worked it, produced. He was a dairy farm. He was a good dairyman. A little crop and food substance for them. Signed away while he was in the hospital room. My brother-in-law overseas in Korea. My wife, very naive and unable to do anything, not knowing what her rights were or anything else, going to a med tech school. No, I'm sorry. Sorry. I apologize. She was in Bible school still in Canada. Man who's had a stroke can't sign his legal documents and things like that on the son, but by the time anything could be done, the years have gone by, but yet Linda and I have never starved to death. Several times we've been homeless, but yet we were not homeless. God provided someone, opened up a place for us to live. We always remember that. God provides. When we are faced with legitimate pressing needs, our faith needs to say the Lord will see to it. Seeing implied here is a kindly, friendly, interesting seeing. A seeing that comes from his everlasting love, from Jeremiah tells us, his unfailing love. Remember, chesed in the Hebrew, often translated mercy in the Hebrew, is unfailing love. The Lord Jesus Christ is now our shepherd. The Father has assigned the duties to him because he won his spurs of shepherdhood and his human, for his human nature. When he followed the Father as his shepherd in the entire time of his earthly ministry, approximately 5 years. The Father sees and the Father cares and the Father provides for our needs. Study the life of Elijah. Study when Elijah was over by the brook Cherith, and God fed him from the ravens. God did not let him fail. Now, God doesn't feed us from ravens. The birds bring us food today, but God will take care of us. God's vision ensures his provision. Trials, sorrows, and disappointments may be ours, but in all situations, we can prove it is true that God will provide. Troubles assail and dangers affright. Though friends shall fail and foes all unite, yet one thing secures us, whatever betide, the scripture assures the Lord will provide beautiful hymn. Romans 10:17 says, the just shall live by faith. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We have to learn to live by faith. As you know, Romans 10:17 is a quote. Romans 1:17, I'm sorry. When Paul said at the close of the verse, I don't quote the whole verse usually, but I should. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written. King James, the just shall live by faith, in ASV, but the righteous man shall live by faith. Paul is quoting Habakkuk 2:4. And we read in Habakkuk 2:4. Behold, as for the proud one, his soul is not right within him, but the righteous will live by faith, in the ESV translation. His soul there, behold, as the proud one, his soul is not right with him, is the Chaldean soul. And the unsaved, in contrast to the righteous. The righteous shall enjoy deliverance and abundance of life by the faith, or better, faithfulness. Faithfulness to God. A person who has faith is a person who trusts, can be trusted. And Romans 1:17, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. The righteousness of God is the restoration of right relationship between man and God, which proceeds from God's gift to his Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. From faith to faith. Romans 3:21 says, and being fully assured that what God has promised, he is able also to perform. I'm sorry, that's Romans 4:21, a good verse. So what God promises, he'll perform. He performs in us, Romans 3:21, I'm sorry. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Righteousness is used in various ways in the Bible. Righteousness refers to one, God's character, John 17:25. Two, to the gifts that he gives to everyone who receives Christ there. Also Romans 5:17, to the standards of right living, Romans 6:18, 2 Timothy 2:22. The witness to God's righteousness in places are seen, Genesis 15:6, Psalm 78:13, Isaiah 53:11. All right, we start off with God's righteousness in saving, the faithfulness of God to his own commitment to save us. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I shall be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. It's faith from start to finish. The righteous shall live by faith. We're saved by faith. We're to daily live by faith while we're here in time. And believe in faith that we were delivered into the presence of God, either when we cross the bridge of dying grace or at the rapture of the church. One God's faithfulness to us when we live by faith in one place prepares us for the next testing and the next passing of it as God continues to be faithful. When Paul quoted Habakkuk 2:4, he is emphasizing that one can be righteous in God's sight only through faith. Who is just through faith shall live now and forever by faith. Look at Galatians 3:11. no one is justified by the law before God is evident. For the righteous man shall live by faith. The righteous man shall live by faith. Paul's use of the quotation from Habakkuk 2:4 is to stress that one can become justified in God's sight only by faith. He who is righteous by faith rather than works shall live. Look at Hebrews 10:38. Well, my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Again, the unknown writer of Hebrews makes the quote from Habakkuk 2:4. We could also say that he could make it from Romans 1:17 or from the passage in Galatians 3:11, since Paul wrote Galatians, we believe, first, Romans later. This teaches the person who has been made righteous by the Father lives and survives the coming ordeals by faith. The believer trusts God in everything. When Paul uses it to teach in Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11, when the unknown writer of Hebrews uses it in the book of Hebrews, it teaches us that the one who is righteous by faith rather than by works shall live by faith rather than by works. There are works, but the works are to accompany faith. Paul's emphasis was always on salvation by faith. The writer of Hebrews' emphasis is upon living by faith. Romans 10:7 ends, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is possible to please him, they that come to him must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. All right. Jehovah Roi. The Lord, shepherd, is my shepherd. He is shepherding me. This is the faith that God is actually working. He doesn't just have a title, it's working. That's why I expanded the doctrinal translation out there to let you see, because it is a verbal participle. We translate it this way. I shall not want. Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah, my shepherd. Jehovah Roi is Jehovah, is also Jehovah Jireh. So Jehovah Jireh foresees my need. Jehovah Jireh provides my need. Jesus Christ is the great shepherd of the sheep, is responsible for this. So we come into a world of faith testing. Faith testing. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, he will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with all the temptations also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. God makes the grace provision, 2 Corinthians 12:9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of God may rest upon me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Becomes a key issue. Suffering for glory then becomes an issue if we're going through suffering. I know so many believers that are suffering right now. Romans 8:18, for I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. 2 Corinthians 1:5, for as the suffering of Christ abounds in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. 2 Corinthians 1:6, and whether we be afflicted is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual, and enduring of the same suffering which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted is for your consolation and salvation. 2 Corinthians 1:7, and our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as you are partakers of the suffering, so you shall also be the consolation. Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Colossians 1:24, we now rejoice in my suffering for you and fill up that which is behind, the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Lord is my shepherd, the first thing we have to say, I shall not want. Rest, spiritual rest in the soul. Use the Hifield future stem here, which is caused Eve to tell us that Jehovah was the one who caused him to lie down in pastures green with edible plants. Not just food and water, but also protection from any predator. But David is speaking of being able to rest because Jehovah is going to protect and provide him for his many enemies. Psalm 23, 2a. So we move on in the psalm. Because Jehovah Jireh is providing for him. He can lie down in the green pasture. Lie down in contentment and rest. Quiet waters, we'll see the second half of verse 2. He leads me beside quiet waters. We'll come to that. He makes me to lie down. Look at Psalm 65, 11 to 13. You have crowned the year with your bounty and your pasture of fatness. The pastures of the wilderness drip and the hills gird themselves with rejoicing. God's blessed food supply. Ezekiel 34:14. I will feed them in good pasture, and their grazing ground will be on the mountain heights of Israel. There they will lie down on good grazing ground and feed the rich pastures of the mountains of Israel. God, the good shepherd, look at verse 13. I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries. This is at the second advent. And bring them to their own land, and I will feed them on the mountains of Israel and the streams and all the inhabited places of the Lord. Jehovah will be the good shepherd of Israel throughout the millennial reign. He will restore the people to their land to be completely fulfilled in their millennial kingdom. All this group of psalms, in this section beginning, I think it's Psalm 14, I don't have that note in front of me now, running through there's a section here that's also our prophetic psalms in a way of promises to the nation of Israel, just as it was David's literal testimony. Just as we see the implication of the testimony to us under 2 Timothy 3:16, all scriptures God breathed, given for doctrinal teaching, for proof, correction, for instruction, and righteousness. Man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. 2 Timothy 3:16, 17. It has a long-range application also to the nation of Israel, who God will shepherd, the redeemed, the remnant, through the tribulation to bring them into the land. What a blessing we see. We enter into the concept of all that it has for us. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Since we don't want anything, we're free to enter in to the green pastures. We need to remember that the Israelites were passing through the wilderness Canaanwards. There were two things that never failed them, the manna from heaven and the water. The former, the manna from heaven, was for their subsistence, the latter for their refreshment. In that long period of 40 years, each recurring day brought us abundant supply. The 78th Psalm is their psalm reflecting this. It's a long psalm. And we will not take time to read it, but I ask you to please read all 72 verses in Psalm 78. It would take the rest of the class for us to even begin to go through that psalm, so therefore I ask you to do it. Isaiah 43:20. The beasts of the field will glorify me, the jackals and the ostriches, because I've given water in the wilderness and the rivers in the desert to give drink to all to my chosen people. In Psalm 78:24, we read one verse that I want to read to you. He rained down manna upon them to eat, and gave them food from heaven. Verse 25, man did eat bread of the angels, and he sent them food in abundance. We know that even their shoes did not wear out. The manna from heaven. Exodus 16. Then they set out from Elim, and all the congregation of the sons of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departure from the land of Egypt. They've been gone 45 days because they use a 30-day calendar. The whole congregation of the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses there in the wilderness. The sons of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died by the Lord's hand in the land of Egypt. We sat by the pots of meat when we ate bread to the full. You have brought us out into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." And they had been in slavery back there. The wilderness of Sin is the southwest area of Sinai. All right, they've been gone 45 days, they've been gone 1 month, my correction. 15th day of the following month, they've been gone 30 days. The Israelites were accustomed to a good diet in Egypt. Look at Numbers 11:5, but they had to slave, they were slaves to earn it. And they'd forgotten this. Numbers 11:5. We remember the fish which we used to eat free in Egypt, and the cucumbers, and the melons, and the leeks, and the onions, and the garlic. The Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them whether or not they will walk in my instruction. Bread from heaven. Enough was supplied only for each day. Except on Friday, when twice as much was to be gathered and provided enough for that day and the Sabbath day. Look at Matthew 6:11. Give us this day our daily bread. God provided them daily bread. Verse 5 says, "For it will come about on the sixth day when they prepare what they bring in, they will bring in twice as much as they gather daily." Verse 26. 6 days you shall gather in, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be none. Our Lord is the ultimate living bread, John 6:51. They were to trust God, the Father, which was all they could conceive of, to carry them through and to feed them. He did so in the wilderness. John 6:51, I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever, and the bread also which I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. So we see the Father providing manna in the wilderness to Jewish people to be a testimony to us of what I have. The green pastures sustain, the still waters refresh. Our responsibility to avail ourselves of them arises from the fact that, like the manna and the water, they are freely provided. He leadeth me beside still waters. We have ALMENUCHOTHYNAHALENIY. The word for leadeth is the PL future of Nahal, NAHAL, which not only spoke of the shepherd leading his sheep, but also the idea of leading them to rest. The word for quad is Menuchah, M-E-N-I-N-U-C-H-A-H, which means a place of rest or repose, still waters. Has the idea of a place of rest, peace, and quiet. The analogy here goes over into the spiritual world, where Jehovah our shepherd is the person of Jesus Christ, is the one who provides our food, water, and protection. Not only that, he is leading us through the ministry of his Holy Spirit to the place of spiritual rest, the place of inner peace and outer tranquility. In our lives, our food is Bible doctrine, and our water is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the water that we have. Receives at the moment of our salvation the permanent indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The quiet waters here represent our relationship to the Holy Spirit. Look at John 7:39. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Now what was he speaking of in verse 39? Verse 38, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Rivers of living water to flow out of us, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. Thus the wilderness through which the Israelites passed to their inheritance represented the valley experiences through which we pass in ours. The twofold provisions aptly apply to us, nourishment and refreshment, which is the theme of the chapter. Now, where man doesn't work, he's not supposed to eat. There are things that God has laid down as principles for how to do it, but he provides the work and provides the things and provides the needs of life. If he chooses to take something away from us that we think we need, as long as we're alive, he's giving us faith to survive. Colonel Nick Rowe. Or Lieutenant Nick Rowe. Was held as a POW all those years. In South Vietnam, passed around by the Viet Cong from one place to another, starved, beaten, tortured. How many things done to him? But God sustained him and brought him out of it. So the green pastures sustain, the still waters refresh. It's our responsibility to reach down in our soul and accept them. Each morning and without failing, the soft showers of angels' food reach the place of their sojourning. Psalm 78, 25. We saw Psalm 78, 24. He rained down manna upon them to eat and gave them food from heaven. Verse 25, man did eat the bread of angels. He sent them food in abundance. The food was good enough for angels to eat. It is believed that by the Jewish rabbis that the food was manufactured, that there is a place where God manufactures food for angels. It was from this place that the manna was brought to the earth. It was the same food that angels eat. We do not know that, but it could well be. The manna was white, telling of its purity. Look at Exodus 16:31. The purest food man could ever have eaten. The house of Israel named it manna. It was coriander seed, white, and it tastes was like water with honey. God provided the white manna, representing the purity of God. Look at Exodus 16:14-15. When the layer of the dew evaporated, behold, on the surface. Of the wilderness there was a fine flake-like thing, fine as the frost of the ground. When the sons of Israel saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" They didn't know what it was, and Moses said unto them, "It is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat." The Hebrew word manna means what, as if to say, the what sustained. This food is described, we saw in Numbers, in the verse 31. Now look at Numbers 11:7-9. Now the manna was like coriander seed. Its appearance was like delium. The people would go about and gather it and grind it between two millstones, or beat it in the mortar and boil it in the pot and make cakes with it, and it tastes was as a taste of cakes baked with oil. And when the dew fell on the camp at night, the manna would fall with it. The Coriander seed is round and gray. Delium is pearl-like and grayish white. Look at Psalm 119, verse 140. Your word is very pure, therefore your servant loves it. What does Matthew 4:4 say? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word, Bible doctrine, that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. It tasted like honey in their mouth, telling of its sweetness. We saw that in Exodus 16:31. Now look at Psalm 119:103. How sweet are your words to my taste, yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. The whole passage of verses there from 97 to 104, meditation on the Word of God, makes one wise and pure. When people departed from God, however, and returned in heart, the land from which the outstretched arm had delivered them, the manna lost its sweetness. They first made light of it and eventually despised it. We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely. Later they said, but now our soul is dried up, there is nothing at all besides this manna before eyes. That's Numbers 11:5-6. And verse Numbers 21:5, our soul loatheth light bread. There's a lesson for us to learn here, that as the Father provides our needs, or the obvious as they are valuable, the manna for the heavenly pilgrims of today, that which is to sustain him through all the vicissitudes of his career, of his life in phase two upon this earth, as Christ is presented in the Word of God by the power of the Spirit. And said Jesus unto them, my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven, for the bread of God which is cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. I am the bread of life. Quotes from John 6, 32 to 35. Now turn to John 6, 32 to 35. He's just saying, Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing. Fills my very soul. In John 6:32-35, reading the whole passage through from the NASV, Jesus then said to them, truly, truly, I say unto you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread out of heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread out of heaven. For the bread of God is that which cometh down out of heaven and gives life to the world. Then they said to him, Lord, always give us this bread. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. But I say unto you that you have seen me and you did not believe. There comes a time when people stop believing. They're still saved, but their eyes are turned off of Jesus and turned back to the world. There's a contrast as well as a comparison in John 6. For while the manna was perishable food of a transient life, the Lord Jesus Christ, imperishable food of an endless life. Bible doctrine, heaven and earth shall pass away, but not one jot and tittle of the law. The Word of God stands forever. We should sing a little song, I stand alone on the stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. Your father did not eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. Your father did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. It says in John 6:49. John 6:51, if any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. It is by means of the written word of God that you and I are to feed daily. We find Peter declaring that the Word of God by which the new life was first imparted is also the food by which it is sustained. Being born again by the Word of God. Newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. Of the manna we read, they gathered every morning, Exodus 16:21. Viewed typically and spiritually, these words present a philosophy of life for the Christian believer. They constitute the secret of safety, of certainty, and enjoyment. The daily habitat of daily feeding on heavenly manna, daily intake of Bible doctrine. We set before us in the sacred pages of the Word of God. The holy account of Scripture is attributable for our joy. Look at Jeremiah 15:16. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. You who know, O Lord, remember me, take notice of me, take vengeance for me on my persecutors. Do not, in view of your patience, take me away. Know that for your sake I endure reproach. I'm sorry. I read you the wrong verse, and I apologize for you. Verse 16 says, your words were found, and I ate them, and your words became for me a joy and the delight of my heart, for I have been called by your name, O Lord, God of hosts. I looked at the wrong verse in my bifocals, and I do apologize. Jeremiah wanted God the Father to vindicate him. Since his assimilation, he ate God's word, Bible doctrine. Verse 17 speaks of how he avoided company and was filled with indignation over Judah's sin. Verse 17. The sins of our nation should make us all want to throw up these days. God is our peace. Look at Psalm 119:165. There's so much in this passage to be taken out. Those who love your law have great peace, and nothing causes them to stumble. The manna from heaven, Bible doctrine, is a standard for our fruitfulness. Psalm 1:1-3. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. In other words, eats his manna in the morning, eats his manna at night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by the stream of waters, which yields its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither. Whatsoever he does, he prospers. Natively, the righteous man does not behave like or belong to the realm of the wicked man. This is the person utilizing experiential righteousness in our dispensation, the filling of the Spirit. Possibly the Word of God is the hallmark of his faith and practice. That's verse 2. Verse 1 was, we don't belong in the satanic world. We should not live in the satanic world system that way. Therefore, he is spiritually healthy and fruitful. Verse 3. He is blessed of God. How blessed? Verse 1, the Hebrew word is in the plural and means, oh, how very happy. Our security is supplied in the hour of peril, Psalm 17:4. As for the deeds of men, by the word of your lips I have kept from the paths of the violent. Christian men and women must read and study the Word of God. The pressures of Christian service and all its manifold activities in the present day, nothing should prevent the daily intake of Bible doctrine. Anything in the material world should not prevent the daily intake of Bible doctrine. We need to have time to study the Word. We need to have time to meditate upon the Word. We need to meditation for devotional perusal of God's holy Word for the purpose of making it applicable in our life and finding peace and contentment from it. Christian effort cannot be sustained for thoughtful and serious attention. Sorry, my eyes blurred in my notes for a second. Christian effort cannot be substituted for thoughtful and serious attention to what we're taught of God in His Holy Bible, the Word of God, by which we are to be renewed and sanctified. We must be filled with divine truth if we're to grow into divine life. 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our temporal life responsibility and our Christian activities, furthermore, can only be sustained and enlarged by much communion with Christ through His Word. The source of great rivers are hidden away in mountains and glen. The little stream you can step across in northern Mississippi that becomes the mighty Mississippi River. Or the little stream in the Rocky Mountains that becomes the mighty Missouri that pours forth into the mighty Mississippi. Or to the east, the mighty Ohio, which pours forth into the mighty Mississippi, the Arkansas, and all the others. We'll pick up here in the next class and continue. Our time is about up. You begin to get the picture. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, or pastures green. Father, we thank You for the privilege of teaching Your Word, for Your Word is absolute truth, and claim Your promise Your Word will not return void, will accomplish all that You design it for. We ask You to sanctify it and to bless it. In the name of our Lord and of our Savior, Jesus Christ, whose name we pray, even so come.